discussed three different episodes, and I think we're going to learn something very, very interesting which came out of it. Okay, we discussed last week, fascinating, a little bit the beginning of the Karaites, and the whole Karaite movement, or at least who gave the resurgence to the Karaite movement, was because the grandson of Bustanoi, the Reish Galusa, the older son, Anan, was overlooked by the Goinim. And they said, his shitas are a little bit too left-wing, let's choose his younger brother instead. He proclaimed himself Reish Galusa, remember we saw that? Proclaimed himself Reish Galusa, the caliph threw him in jail. In jail he meets some other Muslim heretic, and he tells him, you're going to hang, unless you say you're Reish Galusa of a different religion. So he comes out and he says, no, I'm not from the rabbis, I'm from the other religion, the Karaites, or from the other religion, the ones anti the rabbis, and I'm the Reish Galusa for them. And we said that the caliph was okay with that. Why was he okay with that? Because remember, it was 100 years after they were established already. So in the beginning, they needed the rabbis, they needed Reish Galusa, they needed quiet. But now, they didn't mind to weaken a little bit the strength of the Reish Galusa. He gave him his own Reish Galusa, and he wrote a whole Sefer HaMitzvahs La'anam. A whole lumdus based on Gemaras, literally makes it up as he goes along. With lumdus, we actually found that Sefer HaMitzvahs La'anam. And one of the most famous mitzvahs of the Karaites, of course, is that you can't have any fire on Shabbos. And he learns it from a pasuk, and he has rayas. And actually, the thing was that loy sevaru eish starts with the tough, and loy sasa kam locha starts with the tough as well. Just like loy sasa kam locha means if you do the locha before Shabbos, you have to stop on Shabbos. So too, loy sevaru is when you have the light before Shabbos, you have to close it before Shabbos, and therefore tough, hekesh, shava, and therefore that's his halacha and his lumdus over there. Right. That was the thing. And by the way, I don't know if you looked it up, but no, and he has a whole sefer on every mitzvah in the Torah based on the old drushes and limudim and gzera shavas, and that's what he did. That gave the resurgence to the Karaite movement.
Like that.
1 second, and we said that all this happened because he was overlooked as being the next Reish Galusa. So you saw what happens when, you know, because we said that even though the Reish Galusa was officially the most powerful person, but he needed the haskama of the Goinim as well. Because without the haskama of the Goinim, then it would be fights. Nobody wanted that. The caliph didn't want that. And therefore, at the end, it always had to be Bahaskamas Shlashtam. It had to be with the agreement of all three. Now, we discussed today three separate cases which happened over the span of 100 years. Again, in Bavel. I call it politics in Bavel. And all the results that it led to. Results that I think started to undermine and unravel the Yishuv in Bavel. So, just to give you a little background information. Rav Shlira Goyim brings down that in the year, I think it was in the year 812, so the Reish Galusa was, read the number, the first, Iger Rav Shlira Goyim, Ubasrei, the second line, or the second paragraph, Ubasrei Molo Rav Hananya Bar Rav Meshach Mishnas Tov Tov Reishei, Ubasrei, and after him, Molach Rav Malko, Bar Marav Acha Bishnas Tov Tov Reish Beis. In Pumpedisa, the next goin was Rav Malka. Now look what he writes. V'hu Achtei L'Rav Nutrunoi Nosi Ben Zvinoi, and he raised Rav Nutrunoi to be the Nosi, to be the next Reish Galusa, Biplukta in the fight Al Zakai Bar Marachunoi with the other Reish Galusa, Zakai. In other words, Zakai was Reish Galusa for a few years, but Rav Malka from Pumpedisa said, no, I don't want Zakai, I'm with Rav Natrunoi. V'hiskanshu tartan mesifte im Zakai hanasi, but then there was an inner fight between the mesifte in Sura and the people in Pumpedisa, not the Goin, but the Chachomim in Pumpedisa, they went against the Goin in Pumpedisa and said, no, we don't want Rav Natrunoi to be the Reish Galusa, we want Zakai to be the Reish Galusa. Va'avruol in the Tranoi, and they got rid of Natrunoi, Mal Natrunoi, the Reish Galusa, v'ifta Rav Malka l'Gan Eden, Rav Malka subsequently died, v'Rav Natrunoi nasi ozal amayrov. And Rav Nutrunoi, the Reish Galusa, the Nazi, had to run away to Spain. And that's what Rav Shlira Goyim tells us. What exactly took place? What's the background? What is the taking sides? What's going on? So I'll tell you the history behind it is the following. And we see that from other tshuvas are going in.
Why are we jumping so far?
What do you mean, why are we jumping so far?
Almost 900.
I'm showing you the different political, we still have to discuss various goyim, what they contributed. I want to show you what happens when the goyim get involved in the Reish Galusa, and the Reish Galusa get involved in the goyim, and the inner fights, you know, you always hear about, yeah, in the Reish Galusa, there was inner fighting. Let's discuss these inner fighting and these politics, and see how they had direct repercussions. So,
the second or third is the last one?
No. This is in the year, the beginning of the 800s. That's at the end. Daniel and David, something else. That's a different fight. Not this fight. No. This is, by the way, this is year 812. It's 130 years after the beginning of the Goyim, 140 years. Not so much at the end. It's quite in the beginning. Right? Rabbi Yudai Goyim was in the year 770. The story with the Karaites was in the year 770. So this is one generation later, even less than that, maybe it's 790, it's 20 years later. I'll tell you what the background is. The background is like this, that the first Reish Galusa under the modern Arab conquest was somebody by the name of Bustanai. Bustanai was the head of the Reish Galusas, right? His whole lineage, he was that. I mean, there were Reish Galusas beforehand, but from the Arab conquest was Bustanai. Now, Bustanai had a wife, and he had children. That was fine. By the Arab conquest of the Persian king, of the Sasanian empire, so the first caliph took the daughter of the last Persian king as a trophy, as a captive. And as a gift, he gave it to the king of the Jews. To show him how much he likes him, he gave this Persian princess, her name was Esdevar, as a gift to Bustanai. Bustanai married her and had children. Now the question is, Chachamim had a question. This Bustanai, who was a Reish Galusa, when he married this Persian princess, was she a Shifcha when he married her? And therefore the kids are Goyim. But then when he released them, presumably before he died, he released them, but the Evet Knainim, but they're not yichus to Bustanai, or Bustanai, he was first megayer this Esdavar, the princess. She's a regular Jewish person, hence the kids are Jews, and they're his real children. So guess what happened? After he died, the sons of Bustanai, from the real son, said, these brothers of ours, they're goyim, they're slaves. They're not getting the Reish Galusa. We're Malchus Beis David. We're direct descendants, not them. And they try to have the Goyim hassle these children to say they're no good. And actually, the Tshuvas HaGoyim brings down, there was a whole discussion between Surah and Pumbedisa. Are they Jews? Are they not Jews? What they do? What they not do? And that's this whole discussion. Okay, if you look in over here, the second paragraph. Kach Nirli has a question, if somebody lives with a Shifcha and then she has a child, does that pati you from Yibum? So he says, Kech nirlonu min adobar. Shemi shebal shefchosa velido. If somebody lived with his slave and she has a child, shuva sedin shein aben poitisishun of him in a Yibum. That's not his child. That's not miyaches after him. It's not his child. And therefore, if he dies without any other children, then obviously the wife has to do Yibum. Mi sheish leben b'chol mokin poitisishun min a Yibum. Mokin vakalosu v'no yucholava. Chuz mi shem min a shivru min achis. Elu, read what it says, the third line. But there's a discussion amongst the Goyim, and this is the question. Bustanai Reish Galusa, Duhu Chaninoi, Shebal Shevchosoi, he lived with his maidservant, he had relations with his maidservant, Bas Kinzeri Melech Palsi, the daughter of the Persian king. The Yohavon Nahalei, that was given to him as a gift, Amma ben Chatab Melech Yishmael ben Matano v'yolda ben. So this wife of Bustanai was a daughter of a Persian princess. She had a child. Umeis v'amdu echav l'moichoi v'nech l'ku chach me'yeshivas b'dov hazeh. Yesh mehem shamu. Some said, kama delay meshachar evedu. He never released this child, and therefore he's a slave. V'so shichu me'echav. So they actually wrote a star shichur from the Beis Din to say that he was released. In other words, he was a slave, but they had to release him. So the Beis Din, the Dayan in Dayan of the Bava, Rav Chaim Noy, wrote a Shtar Shichur, that means to release this child, that he's not a slave anymore. But he's not a Yichus, he's not his son. V'yeshmeh Sham, who know? Bustanoi Nosi Ava. Busnoi was a Nosi. Uviyod Lashacha. V'ylav Dava Shacha. Loi Ba'aleo. He would have never married her unless he freed her first. And therefore he freed her first as a slave, then it became his wife, and hence the children are his regular children. His Gayer, freed her, right? Shifcha. Megayer, she's a regular woman. And then he married her, and therefore these children are valid children. So that was the discussion. So in the beginning they came around and said, okay, they gave it p'sak din. Now, 150 years later, right, this is 150 years later, in the year 770, so what happened was, Anan ben David became the Karaite, right? He became the Karaite. His brother was the Nasi, was the Reish Galusa. But after his brother died, so the Chachamim were reluctant to give it to that side of the family. Because look, Uncle Anan is the Karaite. We don't want the Reish Galusa anything to do after the brother who became a Karaite, and he became, we want to have the Reish Galusa from their family. So he said, no worries. Busnai has a wife, the Ezdavar. Let's take from his children, from her children, and let's make the new Reish Galusa from the Persian thing. Because after all, we hold, like the Goyim, that he was Meshachar. So they, rather than choosing from Shlomo ben Chasdoi, from this Yichus, the real wife, they chose instead Zakai, who was from Shariada, which was the daughter, the son of Ezdavar, from the Persian princess, and they said, we're choosing Zakai to be the next Reish Galusa.
So clearly they paskened already,
yes. Wait a second. They paskened, was good for everybody, and they Chum decided on that, and the Goyim decided on that. The other fellow, Nitrunoi, who was from the first wife of Busnoi, he didn't take this lying down. He went to Rav Malka Goyim in Pumpadisa, and he told Malka Goyim in Pumpadisa, hey, that's a Shifcha, that's no good, choose me as the Reish Galusa. So he grabbed onto Rav Malka Goyim. Now, the Goyim of Sura was against it. All the Chachamim of Pumpadisa were against it, like Rav Shriya Goyim writes. But he grabbed onto the Goyim of Pumpadisa to make him the next Nasi, the Reish Galusa, and not his distant cousin from the Persian princess, bringing up the old story that, look, they're not Jews anyway, and therefore you cannot make them Reish Galusa. Rav Malka went with him, but the rest of Chachamim did not go. Did not go with him. It was a whole thing. So in the beginning, Rav Malka threw out Zakai, instated Mal Natunoi. But Rav Chanina going from Sura, together with the other Chachamim of Pumpadi, so that's what Shira going writes, they went and they deposed Mal Natunoi, and Rav Malka going from Pumpadisa died. Once he died, Rav Natunoi had nowhere to go. Because his main supporter is out, so he had nowhere to go. What did he do? He was a big Ham Chachem, and he was from a Yichus, Malka Beis David. He went to Spain. And he went to Spain. They said, look, we have now in Spain, from the almost from the Goyim from Bavel, and the previous Reish Galusa, they accepted him, Bekavod Gadol, and he brought, Rav Shiri Goyim brings down, he translated, he took the Talmud Bavli, the entire Talmud Bavli, and he had it, brought it over to Sfarat, to Spain, he set up shop over there, and he became like a semi-Goyim over there, and that was beginning preparing Spain to be the next place for the Galus of Klal Yisrael. So you see, because of this inner fight, that it all started from the Karaite, from Anan ben David, and because of that they went to the other side of the family, and Natunai was upset, at the end he ended up going to Spain, where you never know in life. You see that? He ended up going to Spain, and he literally planted the seeds of Spain being the next part of the Galus of Klal Yisrael. So that's the story of the first story which I want to discuss. Now, by the way, just to show you, at the end, the Goyim of Sura, to lay the whole story to rest, so he made sure that his daughter married one of the grandsons from the that side of the family. And so if I give my daughter to this side of the family, then we're good and everything is done. And basically, it laid it to rest. And that was the first story. So the first story we see where there was inner fighting between the Goyen of Sura and the Goyen of Pumbedisa on the political appointment, who's going to be the next Reish Galusa, again, stemming from Anan ben David and stemming from the story of Busnai with the Persian princes, all that. At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his way. He's already planting the seeds for Galus Svarad. That's the first thing. Okay. Story number two. This is another story, which is like this. The other story is, in the year, this was the year 790. 25, right? Because it was right after Anan ben David. So right after his brother died, so 20 years later, that happened then. 25 years later, in the year 816, so the Goyin of Pumbedisa, by the way, these Goyinim, if you look in the history, I can show you the whole list. Maybe 7 years, 5 years, 3 years, 8 years. You know, the big Goyinim, I think it was a high Goyinim or something, was like 40 years. But most Goyinim were 5, 6, 3 years, 7 years. A lot of list of, a lot of Goyinim was like the figurehead, the Rosh Hashiva. But they were usually appointed at a very old age, and they didn't usually live that long. So there are many different Goyinim. I'm going to tell you all these names, not expected to remember all these names. But, you know, I never heard these many of them. But in 816, the Goyin of Pumbedisa was Rabbi Avram. Rabbi Avram, Goyin Mar Avram, who was the Goyin of Pumbedisa. Now, they needed a new Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa died. They needed a new Reish Galusa. Again, there was a fight between two candidates. Daniel, from the left side, the right side of the family, same idea, and David ben Yehuda from the other side of the family. So Rabbi Avram Goyin was the Goyin of Pumbedisa, and David ben Yehuda from the Persian side of the family, and Daniel from the Chasdoi front side of the family. Now, all the Goyinim, Pumbedisa and Sura, all wanted the one from the Persian side of the family, from the, you know, the Busanai's Persian side of the family. So they appointed David ben Yehuda. But Daniel, right, he was in Baghdad. And at that time, by the way, it's very important. We're going to discuss soon how the yeshivas moved to Baghdad as well. But at this time, the Reish Galusa was found in Baghdad. No more Narda. In the year 815, Narda was already finished. Why? You know the reason why. They moved to the big cities. Mosul, Baghdad, Basra. What? But more than that, because that's very important, you have to understand. Up until that point, for the first 800 years, the Jews were independent. Why were they independent? Because they lived on agriculture. They came from Eretz Yisrael, they lived in agriculture, they did farming, they did fishing, they lived in the delta between the Euphrates and the Chidekel, in that area over there, and they had their autonomous region. And, right, they lived off the land, basically, and that's why they were an autonomous thing. But as time, since the Arab conquest, and they were more modernized, so then slowly they moved away from agriculture, and they went into other things. They went into trade, into different things. With the result, that they ended up moving to the big cities. There was a migration. And all these places like Narda, and Poishvar, and all these places, and Machuza, didn't exist anymore. They started emptying out. Now, the Reish Galusa left Narda, went to Baghdad. By the way, in the year 870, Baghdad was the largest Jewish community. Pumbedisa and Sura, you know, were like out, like nowhere. Like, imagine having, you know, Newark. The big yeshiva is in Newark. I mean, it's a joke. Yeah, 50 years, 100 years ago, it was a big community. Now it's nothing. At the end, we're going to see, and that also had to do with politics. At the end, the yeshiva of Pumbedisa, first of Pumbedisa, and then of Sura, both moved into Baghdad. The famous two yeshivas, Pumbedisa and Sura, two ends of Babel, moved into the big city of Baghdad, and they kept the yeshivas, but they moved into the Baghdad. At this point, they didn't move yet. Pumbedisa was still in the north, Sura was in the south. But the Reish Galusa was in Baghdad. So, they appointed, all the Goyim appointed, David ben Yehuda from the Persian side of the family, made him the Reish Galusa. But this fellow, Daniel, he said, why should I not be Reish Galusa? I want to be Reish Galusa, and the Jews in Baghdad are supporting me. So it's different than what happened 50 years ago when Anan says, I want to be Reish Galusa. Because he had nobody supporting him, right? Not the Goyinim, and none of the Jews. Now when they're in Baghdad, maybe the Jews are more liberal, but he had a lot of Jews in Baghdad supporting him. So he made himself Reish Galusa, as opposed to the Goyinim. And in order to get back to the Goyinim, he said, Reb Avraham is the Goyin in Pumbedisa. I don't want to be him being Goyin in Pumbedisa. Since I'm the Reish Galusa, I'm appointing his deputy, Rabbi Yosef, to be the Goyin in Pumbedisa instead. So they made his Avezin, he made the Avezin the Goyin in Pumbedisa. Now, Reb Avraham had his faction, Rabbi Yosef had his faction. What do you do when there's a fight? It's not uncommon what you have today. They had two Goyinim in Pumbedisa. First time ever. They had two Goyinim in Pumbedisa, because he was supported by this Reish Galusa, he was supported by this Reish Galusa, and they made two Goyinim in Pumbedisa. Reb Avraham and Mar Reb Avraham and Mar Bar Yosef. Now, that was fine. People were not happy about it. They made a big kinus in Baghdad. To come give a shir, and the Shliach Tzibur calls out and it says, you know, the guy in the Pumbedisa is going to give a drasha. And they both get up. And they both got up, but they're going to get up. And the crowd started crying. He said, look how we've come. We have inner fighting, and because of that, we have two going in. And people start crying. And Rabbi Yosef gets up there and he says, I see what this is bringing. I'm stepping down from being going of Pumbedisa. This is not what I want. And Rabbi Yosef stepped down. Reb Avraham became the going of Pumbedisa. Gives him a bracha. And by the way, Reb Shiri going right, we're going to read it together. Reb Shiri going gives him a bracha. Reb Avraham gives a bracha. You should get Olam Haba. He dies a few years later. Then they made Rabbi Yosef. And in the end, they both became the going of Pumbedisa. In the meantime, they got rid of Daniel, the troublemaker. And they brought back David Ben Yehuda. The caliph saw what's going on. And he says the whole thing is a joke. The Reish Galusa is our joke. And slowly he started curtailing the power of the Reish Galusa. And that's another lesson that we learned from over there. That they lost some of their power, the Reish Galusas. Why? Because of the inner fighting. That we cause it to do it to ourselves. We do it to ourselves. And they lost the power. And the caliph saw that and said, this whole thing is a joke. The Reish Galusa is not a Reish Galusa. And because of that, each one is fighting. Each one is pointing at other people. It doesn't go like that. I'm in charge now. And they lost. This is a watershed moment. This point, and that's what Shir Goyim brings it down. Look at the third paragraph. The Kumbasre Mar Avraham Bar Marav Shrira Bishnas Kufchav Zayin Umalachid Beishanim. Reb Avraham. V'hoye Mar Rav Yosef Bar Machir Avvezdin. And Rav Yosef was the Avvezdin, was his deputy. Ubiplukted the Daniel v'David Nesiim, and they got into a fight between Daniel and David. Both them, who should be the Nasi, the Reish Galusa. Ikri Mar Rav Yosef Begoinus. And they made Rav Yosef the next Goyin in the lifetime of Reb Avraham. Can't do that. Ulibisoif Nispaisu. They made a Pshara. In Mar Rav Avraham. V'omu they said, Travai, you both them. Mar Rav Yosef. Umar Rav Avraham. Mikru Travai Goyinim. You know what? We can't make a Pshara. You'll both be Goyinim of Pumbedisa. Rav Avraham and his deputy Rav Yosef. Miu. Kad Mchanfin Travai V'chada Duchte. When they came, and they make up like this, when they come together to a place, Rav Avraham would sit in the front, and Rav Yosef would sit right in front of him, and that's the way it would work out. Zim Nechada one time, Osu Le Baghdad, they came to the big city Baghdad, Visramu Dava Beknishta, Devar Noshlo, the Kala Rapsi, they had a big meeting, Kala Rapsi, a big learning session, V'chad Kom Shtichud Tzibura, and when the Shliach Tzibur got up, V'achis, and he said, Shimu Maida Azbru, Rosh Mesifta Le Memra, let's hear what the Goyin, the Rosh Mesifta, is going to say. Which one? Bachu Yisrael, they all started crying. V'leke l'shmi Elohim kad omar Rosh Mesifta. And they all started crying. People said, oh, what do we do to ourselves? We're killing our own institutions. V'af ma Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef also, is Dazea. He shocked, got shocked. The Kamal Ragli stood on his feet. V'omar, he says, Slikis nafshay min Goyinus. I'm resigning. V'adris la'avas avizbezin. I just want to be regular avizbezin. I don't want this. Ubrachim, Mar Rav Avraham, and Avraham gave a bracha, Rachman lezak la'amad osi delay, Hashukach Bochu should give you the right of Mabo, and they made peace and everything. And they won, at the end, they made peace, but the one that suffered, at the end, were the Reish Galusa. And that's the second lesson that we see once they started fighting and they started getting involved in politics. At the end, there was one other thing, one other case which we want to discuss, which I think has also big, big repercussions. This is another 20 years later, in the year 840. So the Goyin of Surah was Rev Meshashia. Fine, 840. He died. Rev Meshashia died, the Goyin of Surah died. And they couldn't decide who should be the next Goyin. There was nobody who was fitting to be the next Goyin in Surah. So what happens when nobody in the past, what happens when they couldn't choose the right going? Who got involved? The Reish Galusa. He chose the next going. Sometimes he imported, Shlomo Bechazdo imported a going from Pupadisa. But the Reish Galusa has to appoint the going. So he got involved. But this Reish Galusa's name was Mar Ukba. Not Mar Ukva, not to be confused with Ukva from the Gemara, Mar Ukba. And Mar Ukba says, he was a shady fellow, and he says, you know what? I'm not appointing another Goyin. You know why? Because, no, I can't be the Goyin, because I'm a Reish Galusa. But if there's another Goyin there, then they're going to collect the taxes. If I don't appoint the other Goyin, I can siphon some of the taxes from a different Hevel, whatever, from a different area that's supposed to go to them, it can come to me. And he decided not to appoint another Goyin. And for 2 years, there was no Goyin. 2 years later, there were two Goyin in 842. Rav Kohen Tzedek was in Surah, and Rav Paltoi, famous Goyin, was in Pupadisa. And they were very popular with the people, because there were a lot of tshuvas back to the people, so they're very powerful. So Rav Kohen Tzedek and Rav Paltoi said, this Reish Galusa is a no-gooder. He didn't want to appoint any other Goyin. He wants to take the taxes for himself. They went, Rav Kohen Tzedek, Mar Kohen Tzedek, went open warfare against the Reish Galusa in order to oppose him. In other words, to depose Mar Ukba. Now, who helped him? Couldn't do it by himself. Fred, couldn't do it by himself. What did he do? He got some wealthy Balabatim in Baghdad to get involved. He got the wealthy Balabat. It was a wealthy family, the Natira family. And he said, you're on my side, come with me, fight for the Lamana Torah. And the Kohen Tzedek, the Goyin in Surah, together with the Goyin in Pumbedisa, together with the wealthy Balabatim, they booted out the Reish Galusa, Ma'ukva. Very, very powerful. And they booted out Ma'ukva. Ma'ukva had to disappear, had to leave his palace. Remember, he was the king. He was the royal, right? He had his palace, everything. He had to leave his royal palace. He went to a place 5 days west. Five days west of Baghdad. And he went to his summer home over there. He goes to his summer home. The caliph comes over there also for a visit. And he entertains him. And there's a whole story over there. I read through it in one of the books, say for Yuchsin, something like that. Basically, he was very, very talented, this Ma'ukva. And he was so talented, he would sing for him every day some new piyut, some new song all about the king. And every day he came up with a different song. And the king was so impressed with that. And he said, well, what can I do for you? And he said, bring me back to my position. So the king said, the caliph said, no problem. Against the Goyinim, he took him back to Baghdad. He put him back in his position in Baghdad. It took them 20 years. Why did Kav get involved? Because I know. But the Goyinim were powerful. But the Reish Galusa, and he enticed him, and he probably bribed him, and all that stuff. It took them 20 years. After 20 years, again with the same Balabatim, again pushed. And they finally got rid of Ma'ukva. But here we see a case, and this we'll read over here. Ma'ukva, an exilarch at Baghdad in the first half of the 10th century. It's not actually, it's a mistake. It's in the year 890. The second exilarch died in banishment. The Kohen Tzedek was appointed going to Pumbedisa. He became involved in the controversy with Ma'ukva over the revenues from Khorasan. And the caliph was induced by Zekhren to depose Ma'ukva. Soon afterwards, he left for Karmish. When the caliph went for the summer to his palace, Ma'ukva devised a scheme with a royal favor, meaning secretary in his gardens, green invitation, beautiful verses. These pleased the caliph's secretary so much, he wrote them down, showed them to his master, who was so delighted, he sent for Ma'ukva. Bottom line, he requested that he might be reinstated. The caliph granted his wish, and he returned to Baghdad as an exilarch. Kohen Tzedek and his friends, however, again succeeded after 20 years, securing his deposition and banishment in the country. He went to Africa, and received the high honors because he sent the royal house. By the end of the day, he was thrown out, and he was deposed, right? So he was thrown out, and he was deposed. But what did it show? It showed, this one I think is very important, it showed that the power of the Goyinim was diminished, right? Couldn't do it on themselves. They couldn't just throw out the Reish Galusa. In the past, they were able to go out against the Reish Galusa, appoint a different Reish Galusa. Now already, even their power is diminished, and they needed the help of the Balabatim. They needed help of the Balabatim, where they lived, the wealthy Balabatim, not the wealthy Balabatim, the powerful Balabatim, the ones that were no more in Surah or Pumbedisa, they were all in Baghdad. Baghdad was the prime, foremost community in the world. And therefore the Goyinim really wanted to move to Baghdad. You know, they were in Surah and Pumbedisa, in the middle of nowhere. Yen Ekmelt. But how are you going to leave the yeshiva that's there for, what is this, 700 years? Yeshiva, the walls of the Beis Medrash here, Fred, that had 700 years worth of terrorists in place. Just who, which guy is going to decide, no, we're leaving Sur, we're leaving Pumbedisa, we're going to Baghdad. They felt they had to be in Baghdad, because most of the Jews had moved already to Baghdad. Many of these towns became ghost towns. The Jews were not there anymore. Not only that, a lot of power they needed, even against the Reish Galusa, was in Baghdad. So they wanted to move to Baghdad. Who was going to be the first one to do it? So nobody wants to do it. They had discussions, I'm sure, about it. Nobody wants to move to Baghdad. In the year 890, the Rav Tzemach, the son of Rav Paltoi, Goyin, was nifted in Pumbedisa. They needed to appoint a new Goyin. The new Goyin they decided was a big Talmud Chacham who was a Dayan in the city of Baghdad. Rav Hai. Rav Hai was a Dayan in the city of Baghdad. He said, we want you to be the next Goyin. So Rav Hai says, I'll be the next Goyin, but I'm not leaving Baghdad. Let the yeshiva Pumbedisa come to me. Wow. And Rav Hai Goyin, in the year 890, Rav Hai Goyin agreed to become the next Goyin of Pumbedisa with the condition that the yeshiva of Pumbedisa would move with all its Talmidim into Baghdad. And that's when the yeshiva of Pumbedisa didn't close, but it continued, it relocated to Baghdad. You see, you have that today, the yeshiva of Tells in Lakewood. And the yeshiva of this, Spring Valley, what they call not Spring Valley, yeshiva of Beis Medrash Elyon in Lakewood. Yeshiva of Targum in Lakewood, same thing. Yeshiva of Pumbedisa in Lakewood.
I mean, the European
yeshivas,
where are they?
That's right. Grodno, all these places, Panovich, wherever they relocate them. Same thing over here. But there were people in Pumbedisa. Everybody's got to come to Baghdad. So Rav Hai Goyin became the Goyin of Pumbedisa in Baghdad. The Goyin of Sura, stayed behind in Sura, but 20 years later, they also followed suit. And in the year 910, 915 already, both yeshivas, both Sura and Pumbedisa, were in Baghdad. Again, it could be it's an outgrowth of all this politics, not necessarily, it could be just because the Jews were living there. But it could also be because the outgrowth of all the politics and the Reish Galusa, like I showed you, every 20, 30 years there was something else with the Reish Galusa, some other skirmish, and you needed, you know, people to help you. Here, the Natira family who lived in Baghdad was very much on the side of the Goyim. Maybe together they decided, you know what, the next Goyim, you know, maybe he was there for that reason, we'll have the yeshivas in Baghdad. So in the year 910, 19, it's really a whole different moment whereby both yeshivas, Sura and Pumbedisa, are in Baghdad. Now, they still continued with their same way of learning, and Pumbedisa had their Mesura, and Sura had their Mesura, and all that's correct. But the place where Abaya, and Rava, and Rav Yosef, and Rav, and Rav Yehuda, and all these places where they actually taught, that was all gone. The actual place and the area, that was all gone. They'd moved to Baghdad. So it diminishes somewhat of the Mesura. So of course, economics. Like I said before, the economics is a big part of it because most Jews didn't live anymore. Right. Exactly. But by the way, we will see next week that once you have both yeshivas in Baghdad, remember we discussed in the beginning there was a whole thing how to divide the money. Each one collected the taxes from the area. But if you're both in Baghdad, so why is Sura getting? Sura is always getting 2/3 of the taxes from all the questions coming. Why are they getting more? They don't deserve more. They don't have a big area. The reason why Sura got more, by the way, is because Sura was in the middle of nowhere. Rav started it. And therefore, they needed more money, perhaps. And Pumbedisa was near Nardo, so they're already independently wealthy. But if they're both in Baghdad, maybe that should also be changed. There was a whole discussion about that also. The finances, maybe we should rechange the arrangements. But not unlike we have today. Same thing, yeshivas, and who gets what, and how do you divide it? Nothing changes. That's the thing. It's 1,000 years later. The same issues, the same, you know, inner politics, and the same things. We see that also. Again, but it changes the dynamics. Because once both yeshivas are in Baghdad, it changes already much more.
So why did the yeshivas technically close down, even though the Baghdad community went on for another 1,000+ years? Baghdad community went down until after 48.
What do you mean? Until, yeah, exactly. Until Saddam.